Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, hour number two. Michelle Knezovic, Chuni Riddle, in for Chase McCabe today. And Nick Kieser with us on the ones and the twos. Thanks to Carl Taylor for joining us, head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals. They will be back in action Friday for game one of their series with Texas. It's going to be a 7 p.m. puck drop. Exciting to not only, you know, we got to talk to Luke Evangelista earlier this morning. I think it's so exciting that we got to see the players have such a significant role, Junie, in the Predators' postseason push, or push for the postseason, you know, in those last couple games of the season, and now see them be successful with the Admirals. And a player that you mentioned to me in the break, the Predators' first-round pick, Joachim Kemmel, from last year, has been pretty effective in the postseason for their Admirals as well.
Yeah, 14 games, 13 points. And, you know, he got called up early, so, which is already a good sign. And when he got caught up, he's taking advantage of his opportunity. So another good prospect to look at, and we'll wait and see and watch his maturation process in Milwaukee. And, you know, maybe he could be a contributor here in the near future as we start seeing some of these, you know, younger players start to get called up and be the new faces of the Preds as the, you know, the older guys are starting to move out. So good stuff from Carl Taylor, really good stuff.
And the NHL draft will be here in Nashville in just over 6 weeks. The Preds have the 15th overall pick, and then depending on where the Oilers finish, they also will have that first round pick that's coming from the Matthias Ekholm trade. But Junie, I said I was going to pose a question to you. And I think that this is probably the best case scenario. When we were watching the draft, I was watching the draft with you, and I said, wouldn't it be awesome if we got three rookie quarterbacks in the AFC South? It would be so exciting. It'd be so fun to cover. Well, would you look at what we've got? CJ Stroud to the Texans, Anthony Richardson to the Colts, and Will Levis right in our backyard. Barkyard. The 4 hours of radio are showing right now. Will Levis here in our backyard with the Tennessee Titans. So I ask you this question. Who do you think right now is set up for the best success? CJ Stroud with the Texans, Anthony Richardson with the Colts, or Will Levis right here with Tennessee?
So I just want to ask a quick,
clarification
question for you.
Okay.
Are we talking like this upcoming season or like the next 5 years?
Long term. Success, you know, thinking that each one of them will become a franchise quarterback, which I know is unlikely, mm-hmm. just based off of, you know, history.
I think I'm going to surprise you with my answer.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to go with CJ Stroud.
Oh, okay. That is actually surprising for me.
And I'll tell you why. Right now with the Indianapolis Colts, you know, with Anthony Richardson, he's just too much of a question mark to me to just sit here and say that they're going to be put in the best position, because he's going to have to sit for a while. He's going to have to develop. I know that Jim Irsay has come out and said that they want to play him. I don't necessarily know if that's true. I don't know if that's smokescreen or what that is. But I just think Anthony Richardson is such a question mark that I don't want to go with him. With the Titans, I would say, you know, early on, maybe year one and two, if Levis plays with Derrick Henry still here, mm-hmm. I think that that would really help him. And also having a really good defense, I would say the best defense out of all of them. But I chose C.J. Stroud because Houston had a really good run game last year with Damon Pierce. And what do I always say? A rookie quarterback's best friend is a running game. He also has a great left tackle in Laremy Tunsil. They drafted Kenyon Green last year in the first round. He plays at guard. They traded for Shaq Mason, who's a pretty good guard from Tampa Bay. So they have a solid offensive line. Their defense is getting built up a little bit. You know, they traded up for Will Anderson. Mm-hmm. So they're working on that side of the ball as well. Derek Stingley Jr. in their secondary. A lot of young talent on that defense. And they have a ton of cap space. So they still have the opportunity. This wasn't a great free agency class this year, but next year they could go out and spend a lot of money. Next year's draft is also going to be really good. I don't surmise the Texans are going to be, you know, more than a six-win team this year. I think that they're still going to be one of the worst teams in the league, so they're going to have high draft picks.
They won't have their first round because they gave it to Arizona.
Okay.
For Will Anderson.
Oh, so they don't have their first – well, they should have two first-round picks because they'll have Cleveland's. Because with the Deshaun Watson trade, they have the first-round picks this past year and next year. So if they gave away one of them, they'll have one of them at least. And not to mention they also have, you know, their second round and Cleveland's second round as well. So, you know, they have a lot of wiggle room to really enhance this roster. We've seen this with Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville drafted Trevor Lawrence, who was one of the best QB prospects, you know, in the last 10 years. And the first year, what did they do? They stunk, and they had a bad head coach. They ended up going and getting the right guy at head coach in Doug Peterson. They had a ton of cap space. They set an NFL record for spending in an offseason. And what do? They come out and they win the division. I see the Houston Texans, with how they're set up now, they could make a similar jump to the Jacksonville Jaguars, likely not this year, but next year, and set up a pretty solid team going forward in the future.
Does it concern you, though, with – you know, the coaching turnover that the Texans have had between David Culley, then Lovie Smith, and now D'Amico Ryans? I mean, three different coaches in the last 3 years, when, you know, you're trying to build up a roster and you're trying to be successful after Deshaun Watson and build it up. I look at, you know, C.J. Stroud, and I agree with everything you're saying. I agree with, you know, they have draft capital, they have cap space. But I think what concerns me is just looking at the organization as a whole, and it's not a well-run organization.
That is a great point that you're making right there, Michelle. But I just think they are all in on D'Amico Ryans. I just have the feeling, you know, they really kind of hyped it up when he got hired. He's a former player. He's coming back home. You know, he was the defensive coordinator of the number one defense in the league last year. This guy is a really hot coaching candidate that a lot of teams wanted, and he could have really, you know, had his pick of the litter. Like, he could have went to Denver, which, you know, would have been an easier transition for him. They already have a really talented roster. They just, you know, they needed an adult, and Nathaniel Hackett wasn't up for that position yet, and he could have went there, but he decided to go to Houston and build from the ground up. And I just think that his leash is going to be a little bit longer than a Nick Caserio or a Lovie Smith. I just don't think those guys were ever really the long-term answer. I just think that those were the best coaches that they could get, because, you know, the Houston Texans job wasn't a sexy job to go out and get for coaching candidates. But D'Amico Ryans, being a former player, considers Houston to be his home. They just drafted their franchise guy. They got a lot of cap space, a lot of young, promising players. And I just think that they have the most opportunity to grow. And I mentioned this during the draft process. C.J. Stroud is the most pro-ready quarterback to come in and succeed immediately, in my opinion. I know his S2 scores came out. All that stuff is questionable. But I just think with the Houston Texans and what they're able to do, that is the best position that I'm giving for at least the next 5 years.
Quickly, before we move on to the Colts and the Tennessee Titans, does it concern you that C.J. Stroud's wide receiver room in college will probably be better than any wide receiver room he has in the NFL?
It does a little bit. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that it doesn't. But, I mean, that's with a lot of these, you know, premier quarterbacks coming in, you know. Tua Tagovailoa probably didn't have as great of a receiving core, you know, coming in. And obviously they went out and got Tyreek Hill, and that helps. But, you know, a lot of these guys coming from big programs are having to deal with this, especially from your Ohio States, your USC's, your Alabama's especially. And I definitely think it could take a toll. Like I said, I just think that with D'Amico Ryans and how he is likely going to be as a coach, most defensive coaches like to run the ball. And I think, especially for these first couple years, they're really going to rely on Damian Pierce to run the ball a lot more, control the clock, keep it a low-scoring game, rely on your defense, because I think they're going to take a big jump with D'Amico Ryans and his scheme. So I just think Stroud is going to get protected a little bit. You know, they have John Mechie III, which I like his upside. Robert Woods, you know, him as a number two rather than as a number one at this stage in his career. I think he could perform a little bit better than what he did here in Tennessee. And this all, like I said, they also have a bunch of picks in the first two rounds next year. So they can go out and add receiving talent there. And next year's class is going to be a lot better than this one.
Taking a look at the rookie quarterbacks around the AFC South, Junie and I will take a look at Will Levis with the Tennessee Titans. And could Jim Irsay ruin Anthony Richardson with the Colts? Coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Happy Wednesday, Nashville. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today. Join 102.5 The Game for our second annual Music City Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura. benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th. It's going to be at Hermitage Golf Course. So put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. I'm sure you'll see me and Junie cruising around on golf carts on the course.
Definitely going to be on a course.
Plus, you'll have a chance to win an awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate today at thegamenashville.com/golf. And also tune in for the Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Taking your calls, your texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
I think we have a little bit of breaking news here. Not anything crazy, but Peter Skoronski, the Tennessee Titans, just posted a picture of him in a Titans uniform wearing the number 77. So Peter Skoronski going in and following Taylor Lewan with the legendary 77.
I thought something like crazy was going to happen, and I was really hoping it wasn't anything bad. Junie?
No, nothing bad. Just
77, you hope he can give you, and this might be a polarizing statement because I know some people do not like Taylor Lewan, but you hope he can give you the level of play Taylor Lewan gave you for a very long time, a part of this organization.
Level of play without the injuries, but yeah. Most definitely. I would say if you're drafted, well, Taylor Lewan got taken at 11th too, so, you know, it's kind of similar. So if you can get the production on the field similarly, without the injuries, then you're going to be really, really happy with that. Especially if he does, you know, play tackle. I personally think that he should look at right tackle personally, a little bit shorter with the arms. I think he'd be a perfect fit at right tackle for the future. But, you know, just having a guy that's solidified anywhere on the offensive line is always going to help this team.
And it looks like Will Levis will wear number 8 for the Tennessee Titans as well. So it looks like they're putting the rookies out there in the jerseys, and everybody's numbers are coming out. Please nobody wear 0.
Is somebody already wearing it? I think Sean Murphy Bunting, the corner from Tampa that they picked up in free agency, is wearing number 0.
I don't know why people really have a problem with it. I don't really care.
I don't either. I know.
I'm only saying that because I know people will make a big deal out of it, which I don't think it's a big deal.
What makes me really mad, though, is that the Steelers drafted Darnell Washington, and the year he gets drafted, because they called him Agent 0 at Georgia.
Oh, really?
And they gave him the number 80. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fun. It would have really gone with the nickname.
Would have been amazing.
Really been with the nickname for it. Well, Junie, I posed this question before we headed into this segment and discussing the rookie quarterbacks in the AFC South right now. CJ Stroud with the Texans, Anthony Richardson with the Colts, and Will Levis here with the Tennessee Titans. When you look at Anthony Richardson going into the Colts organization, and I put this on our grid here, I don't know if you just saw it, right? When the Colts drafted, and I know there's different coaches and there's different players right in there, but, you know, when you drafted Peyton Manning, I mean, he was viewed as the best quarterback in that draft. He wasn't viewed as a project. He was viewed as somebody who could be successful in the NFL. Same with Andrew Luck. But I am skeptical of, you know, what Anthony Richardson will look like within the Colts organization. Jim Irsay and people have come out to say that he's going to start, that they want him to start. They want to get him out there. Does that concern you that, you know, you have an owner in Jim Irsay who is very vocal, very hands-on, very wants things to work right away, especially with a quarterback who's only 20 years old, who's very raw and needs a lot of development before he is a day one starter in the NFL?
I wouldn't start him week one, but to say he shouldn't start at all in the first year of his career this upcoming season, I wouldn't like that either. I think that he needs playing reps in order to get better, and that was part of the reason why I thought that he should have went back to school. Well, he didn't, and he was right because he got drafted 3rd overall. I didn't think he should even be considered a first-round quarterback because of the way he played at Florida. I thought there was too many things that he needed to learn and pick up on. But regardless, I've kind of gotten an understanding for the hype. The more I've seen, the more potential. I get it. I understand. But again, it's still going to take a lot. If he were to start this year, I think that they could do something similar to how the Ravens handled Lamar Jackson. And what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson was, you know, they really limited the amount of times that he passed. He ran a lot. I think he set a record his rookie year for most running attempts by a quarterback in a game. I mean, that's how much this guy was running. I mean, they were essentially running the Wildcat and allowing him to throw, you know, a limited amount of times in a game. And I think that that could work for Indianapolis, you know, this year. Their offensive line wasn't great last year. Mm-hmm. But it still has, you know, pieces like Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson, who both I really like. And in an offseason, I think that they can do enough to enhance it a bit. And so you got a good offensive line. Jonathan Taylor's coming off a tough year. You know, he's going to be really looking to bounce back.
But a good run game. I mean, you talk about
a great run game. And I just think that, you know, maybe doing a lot of RPOs, a lot of read options, a lot of rollouts, and really just trying to simplify the option and making him more of like a big running back that's able to throw and just lean on that until he learns and learns how to read defenses and learns how to go through his progressions. I think that that could work. And for me, I would rather see, if I'm the Colts and a Colts fan, I would rather see Anthony Richardson get some opportunities to play this year rather than just sitting and learning, because I think that would help him more. And Tim Hasselbeck came on with Caroline Willie and DeMays and said the same thing, and I think he made a great argument as to he only got 7 snaps in his first 2 years, and he felt like that really set him back in his NFL career. And the last thing you want to do is to do that with a guy with a lot of potential, a lot of upside that you spent a fourth overall pick for.
Yeah, and I mean, he's only 20 years old too. So he is, you know, young compared to, you know, Will Levis is 23 years old, right? It's crazy just the COVID years or people using a grad year or transferring, the age differences in the guys. And, you know, you think of a guy like Anthony Richardson, if the Colts pick up his fifth year option, say it works out, he'll only be about 25 years old, 25, 26 years old. Whereas, you know, Will Levis will be, you know, 27. Yeah, 27. I mean, 4 years because they won't have the fifth year option. So, I mean, just looking at the age difference too, Anthony Richardson is still very, very young. And, you know, when you talk about guys developing as a quarterback, I mean, a lot of times they're very raw at the age of 20. I mean, he's not even 21 years old yet.
Yeah.
Right?
He can't even
legally drink. Yeah. So, I mean, I think he is probably the most intriguing when you look at the rookie quarterbacks in the AFC South as a whole. But now we bring it all the way around here to Will Levis in Tennessee. And they are the one team that has a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL in Ryan Tannehill. And the question will be, Peter King, I think, put it perfectly. Are we just a November 1st start away from Will Levis and Derrick Henry being traded by the deadline? Because this Tennessee Titans team is in a weird, we still have Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, so we're trying to win, but also at the same time, we've drafted our quarterback for the future and haven't been able to address some needs right now on the roster because we're looking towards the future.
Yeah, I think in the best case scenario for this team, same thing, is that Will Levis, you know, gets at least an opportunity to start. You know, even Patrick Mahomes, who we all talk about, who sat behind Alex Smith, he still got to start a game his rookie year and got to put something out on film, something to get the fans hope for and get a feel of what regular season football is like. Because regardless of what you see in the preseason and how good somebody looks there, it's just completely different. The speed, the intensity, you know, the players that are out on the field, all of that stuff matters. And I just think that, you know, the way this roster is set up, I just don't foresee it being a ultra-competitive team. And especially, you know, like we mentioned, if the schedule doesn't fall in favor of the Titans early on in the season, they get in a little bit of a hole, then you can see that transition. And I'll bring this back because, you know, the Steelers last year with Kenny Pickett, the first half of their season was a gauntlet. I mean, it was awful. It was rough. And they dug themselves into a huge hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do? They made the quarterback transition. Kenny came in during the middle of that gauntlet, struggled heavily in that. And then the second half of the season, it eased up a little bit. And you got to see him progress and go through his mistakes and do so against lesser competition. And so with that, if the schedule were to play out that way for the Titans, let's say the Titans, you know, have a rough break in the first half of the season, they get into like a 3-5 or a 2-6 hole to start, And then they move to Will Levis, and then Levis gets to come in and kind of ease his way through the rest of the season and kind of see what you have going forward. I think that that would be the best-case scenario for the Titans this year outside of a really, really great start, and we're actually going to be competing in the playoffs.
Well, and, you know, to the AFC South, you know, discussing them, the teams with the rookie quarterbacks, I mean, when you look at strength of schedule, Tennessee's at 28, the Colts are at 29, and the Texans are at 30th, and then on the Jags, they're 23rd, but their team has gotten better in the offseason between the draft, between Calvin Ridley being available, and then just Trevor Lawrence taking that next step. But, Junie, you have felt a little heated about some of the schedule releases this morning, specifically the international game. So we're going to get to all of that on the other side. Plus, we're going to give some Beach Boys tickets away next. Make sure you are listening and ready to act and answer our trivia question. Coming up next on Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I want to sing right now to this song, Nick Keyser. I almost wasn't able to intro us there. Welcome back in, Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Nick Keyser with the Glamorous. I used to love this song so much. And also, I think I need to say this because this just reminds me of it. MTV is officially ending after 36 years.
It's sad.
Oh, it is sad. It's the end of an era.
When they changed up from the music format to go into kind of the reality TV was a bit of the downfall. You know, they hit with Jersey Shore and yes. Then yes, they tried to like do all these different other reality TV shows, and Teen Mom just wasn't doing it for people. Okay. Like in Teen Mom 2, definitely not doing it for the people. So RIP to the real MTV.
MTV, I would watch those music videos every single Saturday morning while eating breakfast. And speaking of music, we have got some tickets to see the Beach Boys at the Symphony Center on May 27th, Memorial Day weekend. And I said I was going to ask you all a trivia question. So get your phones ready. You're going to have to call and give the answer to Nick Keyser. Who led the Tennessee Titans in receiving touchdowns last season? Who led the Tennessee Titans in receiving touchdowns last season? Call in right now, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and tell Nick Keyser the answer, and you will get some Beach Boys tickets to go see at the end of May, May 27th. Did you know the answer, Junie, before I told you in the break?
Yes, I did.
Also, do not text it. Please. You can text, but you have to call.
You
please
have to call to win the tickets. Correct. Let's follow directions. You got to call, and we will give you some tickets if you can answer that trivia question right now. And there weren't a lot of them last season. There weren't a lot of receiving touchdowns. So the answer will be, let's see, no callers yet?
Not yet. No. Hey. Oh, there's somebody. We got some. Oh, we got. Oh, now they're flocking in.
So in the top,
they had to look it up.
In the top five, only two of the players are still on the team.
Really?
Yeah. So that's actually, I mean, it's not like they were.
No, it's not like they were. It's not like they were lighting it up. They're trying to find people that actually come in and light up those touchdowns.
Yeah. So the two who are back, who actually tied for the second most, were Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chika Okonkwo, at three. So, whenever we get an answer, we will tell you. But Junie, this morning, you know, the scheduled release for the NFL season will be announced tomorrow officially. There have been some games that have come out, but it was announced this morning that the international game for the Tennessee Titans, they'll be playing on October 15th, week 6, against the Baltimore Ravens, which technically will be a home game for Tennessee, but they'll be playing in London. You immediately did not like this, and I know you're not alone on it. That would have been a game that I would have loved to see here. They've had a fun rivalry the last couple years when they face each other
last
in the playoffs.
Last couple years.
Playoffs.
I would say since the Titans have come to Tennessee, this has been a huge rivalry. Back in the day, these were two of the best defenses in the AFC. They were playing in the playoffs every single year. Titans got the best of the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. And then the 2000 Titans, one of the best Titans teams of all time, got beat by one of the greatest defenses of all time in the 2000 Ravens, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl. And then Steve McNair, you know, when he got let go here, became a Baltimore Raven, which crushed Titans fans because that was their guy. the 2008 Titans, when they were the number one seed, 13-3, they had one of the best seasons the Tennessee Titans have ever had. Got knocked out by rookie Joe Flacco in the wild card Baltimore Ravens to go to the AFC Championship. And then reverse back to 2019, when the Ravens, they won 12 games in a row in the regular season, 14-2. Lamar Jackson, MVP season, had Super Bowl hype all around it. Nope. The team that had to win their final game in the regular season, the 9-7 Tennessee Titans, the wild card team, the last team in, came in and mollywopped the Baltimore Ravens onto their AFC Championship appearance. So there's so much history between these two teams, and the fact that they put a game like that in London and not and take that away from the fans here, I get it. Go to London. Go to London and have a game. But make it against, you know, like a Seattle or an NFC team. Like, don't do it against the biggest rival of the Tennessee Titans outside of the AFC South. This is a long battled history, and especially since they've had, you know, two playoff games in the last, what is it, 4 years? Like, yeah. It's still relevant today. And it just irks my nerves. And on top of that, they put Colts Patriots out there too, which, you know, back when Brady and Manning were still playing there, mm-hmm. there was a huge rivalry that, you know, both fan bases still consider to be a big rivalry. And they used to be, you know, division rivals as well before they kind of changed up the format in that in 2002. And then another one is putting Chiefs Dolphins. Tyreek Hill was supposed to go back to Kansas City this year.
Yeah.
Nope. He's going to be playing in Frankfurt, Germany.
Well, and another one, Junie, I'll add to it, Jags-Buffalo. I mean, I'm actually really excited for that game this year.
Yeah.
You know, the Jags taking another step up. I think the Bills had somewhat of an early exit in the playoffs last year. That's another game where you're watching a Trevor Lawrence versus Josh Allen AFC matchup. And, you know, that's something where – when you look at the Jags and you look at, you know, the fan base was revitalized last year. I remember going there week 18, and, I mean, it was insane. Like, to have maybe Buffalo come to town, I mean, that would be great for your fan base. And I understand a lot of times this is in the NFL's hands, right? And they're the ones, you know, creating these matchups overseas. But, I mean, Chiefs-Dolphins, I mean.
Let me preface this, because I wasn't as mad about Bills-Jaguars, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there's not, like, real history there, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
I get it. The NFL wants to make money. You know, they're sending people to Germany, to the UK, to Mexico City. Yeah. And you want to have good matchups to put a really good product to enhance, you know, the international viewership of the NFL. I get that completely.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a lot of emotional impact and there's a lot of ties between the two teams, like those three games that I had mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and you take that away from the fans here in the States, that's just not a good move. That's not a good move at all. And I just know that there's so many Titans fans that wanted to go to that Ravens-Titans game, and they're not going to get the opportunity to. So some of my friends have already texted me telling me that they're going to, you know, plan to go to London, which is great. But that's not the majority of people. And a lot of people are going to be missing out on a huge game, a huge rivalry with a lot of history. And it just irks me that they would choose that game out of all of them when they could have found, you know, another good team and made a really good matchup and had a really good game still and put a good product out for the NFL instead of taking away a great rivalry game between two teams that have a long history against each other.
And that game will be October 15th. It'll be week 6. They'll be playing in London, the Ravens versus the Tennessee Titans. I agree, Junie. That would have been one that I would have loved to see right here in Nashville, because, you know, you look at this team this year and you don't know what the team is going to look like, but you know that when they play the Ravens, it's going to be a run first defensive battle out there. And it would have been, you know, I mean, it just would have been great for the fan base all around. There hasn't been a lot of excitement surrounding this team, surrounding the new stadium and buying new season tickets, right? Anything to just get fans in seats and the excitement back around this team.
And it would have been the first time that the Ravens came back to Nissan Stadium since the playoff game where the Ravens beat the Titans in that wild card round. So, you know, I just felt like, you know, this was a game that a lot of Titans fans, you know, had circled, you know, again, we talked about the NFL schedule release and how excited people were. I think this kind of deflates that a little bit for Titans fans. I could be wrong. You know, some people probably don't care as much as I do, but I just see this as a big blunder by the NFL. And it just, I don't know. It was a game that I was most definitely looking forward to be my first Titans-Ravens game. To be a part of this season, and now it's going to be in London, and we're going to miss out on it. So,
well, fans, let us know how you feel. 615-737-1025. Call or text, rounding out the show today. But congratulations to Chris, who is the winner of our Beach Boys tickets. The answer was Dontrell Hilliard. He led the team in 4 receiving touchdowns last year for the Tennessee Titans, is not currently on the roster right now. But coming up next, Junie and I are going to give our best bets of the night. We got a little NBA and NHL playoff action all on the other side. You're listening to Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Final segment of the day today for us. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kieser with us coming up after at 11, Caroline Willie and D-Mace will take the reins on things, and we'll continue to the conversation on the Tennessee Titans, the quarterback battle, and Barry Trotz's comments on John Hines and the Nashville Predators in the offseason here. But we like to do this at the end of every show. We like to take a look at some of the NBA and NHL playoff actions. We'd like to open up our Superbook Sportsbook app and look at some of the wagers we've got coming up for tonight. But quickly, Junie, I mean, you and I have been really high on the 76ers. Looks like they could potentially round out this series with the Celtics. They went up 3-2 last night in Boston. And then on the other side of things, it was the Nuggets and the Suns, Jokic with a triple-double, his 10th in postseason, beating Wilt Chamberlain now for 10th triple-double in the postseason. Pretty incredible. They go up 3-2 on the Suns. And now tonight we've got Miami and the Knicks. Looks like Miami might close things out tonight. And then also the Lakers and the Warriors. We will see if the dog is right. So you brought up the dog video of there is a viral video of a dog essentially.
Little corgi.
Shooting baskets and has predicted up until now the Warriors-Lakers series. So it predicted Lakers win, then Warriors win, then Lakers win again, then Lakers win again. And now we'll see.
And then you got to finish. It has the Warriors coming back from a 3-1 deficit and winning the series in 7.
So whoever is the owner of that dog, if that is accurate, I've been saying this yesterday, today, go buy a lottery ticket because you are lucky.
Yeah.
Ma'am, sir. I mean that.
Well, maybe the lottery ticket was to actually listen to the dog.
Or bet on the game. There you go. Bet on the exact series. We've got that game as well tonight. And then on the hockey side of things, we were talking about this, the Devils and the Canes. I was at an establishment last night doing double duty, watching basketball, and hockey was to my left. And I saw the game tied up, the Devils and the Canes at 1-1. And then I'm watching 76ers, Celtics, eating my dinner. And all of a sudden I turn over and it's 5-1.
Yeah.
And
like, I said, in a blink of an eye. I was like, and I told you I was cooking dinner, and I had both games on, and you know I was primarily watching the 76ers and Celtics game, and you know I was cooking some dinner and putting some things in the oven, you know, mixing up some sauces and all that stuff, and I look up and it was a 2-1 Canes lead, and it, like you said, 5-1 out of nowhere, just what was it, 4 goals in the matter of a couple minutes?
4 minutes, yes.
Insane by the Canes. I think they're going to go back to Richmond and get the win, and I think they're going to be moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals with ease. I told Chase when you were out last Friday that I just thought that, you know, the Devils exerted too much trying to get through that Rangers series in the first round, and I thought that Carolina kind of cruised past the Islanders, and they were a little bit more well-rested, a little bit more talent on that team, a little bit better defensively. And so Hurricanes are rolling past New Jersey.
And then also the Stars defeated the Kraken last night, 6-3. But coming up tonight, Junie, Lakers-Warriors, the late game we will start with. The Warriors are a 7.5-point favorite. You know, I looked at the Warriors in their first series against the Kings. I thought they looked really good, but they can't have moments where Klay Thompson does not show up, especially when playing a Lakers team that not only has LeBron and AD performing at a high level, but also their role players performing at a high level. So the Warriors are a 7.5-point favorite. I think this spread is too big. I think the Lakers are really trying to close out this series tonight, because if the Lakers close it out tonight, they're just going to have that extra rest, because Suns and the Nuggets, Nuggets are now up 3-2. They can get a little bit of extra rest before they head into the Western Conference Finals. That is gold for LeBron and AD. So I'm going to take the Lakers plus the 7.5. I also think they do close the series out tonight plus 250. I'm not listening to the corgi.
Ooh, okay. Well, I am definitely going Warriors, and I am eating the 7.5 points.
Okay.
I think they blow the Lakers off the court tonight.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. They when they were playing the Kings and they went down 0-2, they had a huge chip on their shoulder going back to the Chase Center. I think they're going to have a similar one tonight. I expect Klay Thompson to show up and perform at a high level. And I also expect Jordan Poole to bounce back, because he has been nearly non-existent in this series. So give me the Golden State Warriors to probably have their best game of the series. And I think they beat the Lakers handily tonight.
And the early game, the Heat and the Knicks. The Knicks are a 3.5-point favorite. Miami up 3-1 in this series as well. Manuel Quickly has had some ankle issues. He's been questionable. I don't think he's going to play for the Knicks tonight. I think Miami closes this one out tonight. Plus 3.5. Give me them. Also going to take them on the money line. Plus 142.
I'm going to take the Heat as well. I just think the matchup is too much for the Knicks. Julius Randle has not showed up the way that he should in this series. And I just think Jimmy Butler is just a man on a mission. So give me the Heat.
He is.
And they're gonna close it out tonight. You know, every single game that he's played in this series, they've won. The only one that the Knicks have won was the one game that he sat out in game two. And every single one they have won. And even in that game two that the Knicks got, I mean, they only won by 6 points without Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. So I just think the Heat are a bad matchup for the Knicks, and I think they're just the hot team right now.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs, Florida Panthers tonight. Toronto could get swept. I'm calling the sweep tonight. Get your brooms, everyone. I think the Florida Panthers sweep the Maple Leafs. I am taking the Panthers plus 100 on the puck line. Get your brooms out. Sweep, sweep. Sorry, Toronto.
I'm gonna take Florida as well. They're going to be playing down in Fort Lauderdale. I just think that they've just taken the life away from the Maple Leafs. I mean, it's a 3-0 lead is insurmountable. And when you're looking at that, I think that's going to get in their head. You know, they're facing elimination on the road, and that's always tough to do. So give me the Panthers as well.
And then Vegas and the Edmonton Oilers. This is a, and I hate to say this, but a must win for the Oilers tonight. Vegas up 2-1. I think that the Oilers need to tie this thing up tonight, and I think they will. I don't think – we rarely see a dry spell from Draisaitl and Connor McDavid back-to-back games. So I'm going to take the Oilers to win tonight, but not much value. They're minus 190. But I'm going to take the over in this game, over 6.5 goals.
I was so upset because I picked the over in game three and had gotten it right in the first two. And it was five. The over under again. It's been 6.5 basically the whole series, and it was 5.
Yes,
it was 5-1 going into the final period, and no one scored. So that hurt me. So the over will definitely hit tonight. Bet it. And Michelle makes a great point. Draisaitl and McDavid are not going to go, you know, pointless tonight. They are going to come out firing. They're at home. They're not going to go 0-2 at home. They're going to tie the series up 2-2. So bet on the Oilers.
Back to the NBA for a second before we close out here today, Junie. But as D-Mace is looking in here, D-Mace, I like your Warrior, or sorry, not your Warriors, your Lakers. Your Lakers to close out the Warriors tonight. And I think the best thing for them is to win so they have some extra rest, because I think that the Suns and the Nuggets will go to 7 games.
I agree.
And listen, when Anthony Davis, LeBron James can get that extra rest, that extra treatment, I don't care that LeBron's 38 years old, because the man still is performing at such a high level.
I know, and I hate to say this in front of D-Mace, but listen, Curry and the Warriors are just not that generous. And I just when their backs are up against the wall, they come out and play their best games. I expect a huge Warriors win tonight.
Ooh, well, let's see what D-Mace has to say about that. Coming up next, Caroline Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.